We'll look at the word of the Lord this morning for just a few minutes. I want to speak this morning about benefits of the bloodline. Benefits of the bloodline. And how powerful those benefits are, and what a difference it makes to be in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." It mentions those two words, precious blood. Now, this is the most fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith, the blood of Jesus, and the difference it makes in our lives when we trust Him. If it were not for our faith in the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, we would not be born again. We would be wasting our time even showing up for church. We would never be able to get anywhere near God. We would be lost without God in the world with no hope. That's how important this tenet of our faith is, the blood of Jesus that forgives us and redeems us and delivers us from all destruction. Now, this is not Easter, but the blood of Christ is so basic and strategic to the Christian faith that it deserves to be appreciated and celebrated more than just one Sunday a year. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, "The life of the body is in the blood." The life of our physical body is in the blood. And when the blood in our body stops flowing, there is no life left. That's how important the flow of blood is to our physical life. And it's even more important to our spiritual life. The blood of Christ has never stopped flowing. And as long as His blood is flowing, then there is life for us. Everlasting. One of our members, Rolf Hargrave, who is back with us today live, spent several days in the hospital in the last couple of weeks, and among other things, they were treating him for an infection in his bloodstream. And when I heard that, I thought, Lord Jesus, that could be serious for our blood to be infected with bacteria. Now, God has obviously healed him. He's looking healthy and happy and all of that. Back with us live today after a couple of weeks of dealing with all of that. An infection, a bacteria in the bloodstream. That's not good. Thank God for healing, Rolf's. But I'm here to say today, there is no infection, nothing impure at all in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we are in line and qualify for the many benefits of being in His bloodline. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, can you imagine it? I know what this feels like. You know what this feels like, but Adam and Eve had never felt guilt or shame, ever. It was paradise, heaven on earth. There was no corruption, no curse, no sin in the earth until they violated God's law and a curse of sin was declared over not only them, but all of us too, their descendants, and over the planet. Everything went from heaven to more like hell because of one act of sin. And for the first time, Adam and Eve felt guilt and shame. They immediately tried to hide themselves. And they heard the voice of God speaking in the garden, "Adam, where art thou?" And of course, we know anytime God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's wanting you to know the answer. But since Adam and Eve and the guilt they felt from that sin, the shame that came with it that they tried to hide from God. And ever since then, every civilization that's ever existed has had an instinctive knowing. It wasn't taught in school or university, but it was passed from generation to generation. Every civilization since Adam and Eve has known that there must be blood shed to get some kind of relief from the guilt of their behavior and their sin. And that played out in the Old Testament as an act of worship ordained by God and instituted by Moses, that God would look at that act and honor it. And so Old Testament worship was when God's people would come to the temple for worship. They came to get some relief from the guilt that they had carried for a while. But they brought an animal to offer as a blood offering to God. And they would come and bring their best animal. If they had 100 animals, they couldn't send the disabled one, the old one, the one that had no value. They had to send the most prized animal, the most perfect animal, and the blood of that most perfect animal would be shed on an altar, and the man or the woman who was worshiping God that way would leave the temple with some relief, but it didn't last long. I remember, and I've shared it before, and I won't tell the lengthy version again today, but I've told you how growing up as a boy, I got saved so often. I thought I did. One Sunday night, I got saved again. I went to the temple like the Old Testament people did. If you come back right now, I'm bound for hell and I know it. Oh, God. I even forgot what I'd done. It was probably bad. And I got saved on a Sunday night again. And I remember leaving church that Sunday night feeling as light as a feather. I mean, I knew God had forgiven me. And you know the story. It was a Sunday night. And the next morning, on Monday morning, I woke up feeling so guiltless, so forgiven, so saved. And went to the bus stop, waiting for the bus to pick me up, and my mind began playing tricks on me, saying things like, "Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great to be born again and to be forgiven of your sin?" And then my mind said, "Oh, but you know always what happens, and you know you're not even going to make it through the day before you're going to sin again." And I've told you, I backslid at the bus stop before the bus picked me up that Monday morning. I mean, in my mind. And before the precious blood of Jesus was shed to pay our debt for our own sin, that's the way the old covenant people, they drag their most perfect animal, a lamb or a goat or a bull, and they had to repeat it. It wasn't once and for all. They would get some sense of relief because it was an act that was honored by God under that covenant. But they would leave the temple, and it wouldn't be long before they would feel it again and realize, I've got to go back. But they couldn't go back just any time they wanted to. They had to wait for the next window of opportunity to go back to the temple and get more relief temporarily. And there were dates on the calendar. They knew, I can't go back until the feast of whatever. That's my next window to get relief again and to be made right with God again for a temporary period of time. It was a blood offering they bought, and it was the most perfect lamb they owned. And this had to be repeated over and over again. And all of that changed. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, the next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sin, singular, all of it wrapped up in one. He takes away the sin of the world. He doesn't just put a Band-Aid on it or cover it up temporarily. He removes it, all of it, from the whole world. And this is the Son of God that prophets had been talking about for hundreds of years to the people who would drag their lamb to the temple often. They had a great hope that the prophets had spoken about. The day will come when we won't have to worship this way and get a Band-Aid on our problem. That we won't simply have our sins covered for a little while, but they will be cleansed. God will send His Son, and He will be the perfect Lamb. And so when Jesus was introduced to the world at age 30 as the Son of God, John the Baptist is the one who had the pleasure and the honor of identifying Him for the world to know, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I want to talk about some of the benefits of being in the bloodline this morning. And first of all, and most obvious, is the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. Here's what it really means. As awful as I've been at times, as bad as some of you, now some of you are angels, I know some of you are angels. Some of you have been devils. I know you. I've been a little devil sometimes. But the forgiveness of sin by faith in the blood of Christ, here's what it means. God treats me like I've never sinned. Isn't it wonderful? The benefits of the bloodline. As big of a rascal as you have been, perhaps at times, because of the blood and the forgiveness of your sin that comes only through the blood, God treats you like you've never sinned. All evidence of our sin and guilt is wiped out. It's a benefit of the bloodline. The death of Jesus on the cross was the only sacrifice acceptable to God. And it means this to us. Salvation is not Jesus plus one more thing. Salvation is Jesus and His blood only. And when He shed His blood and when He said, it is finished, He had all of us in mind. And we are brought into the kingdom of God, listen to this, not just as a subject of the king, but we're brought into the kingdom of God as a son. Not a servant only, but as a son. Benefits of the bloodline. Listen to me. Any child of mine I have two. And I have grandchildren there, if possible, even better. Any child of mine or any grandchild of mine, and God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. But any child of mine that has any kind of pain or a need to be rescued from any threat or trouble, I will show up and rescue them because they're in my bloodline. How much more will God come to our rescue when we're in trouble and see no way out? But because we're in his bloodline, we believed on the blood of the Lord Jesus, that and not one more thing in addition, but that and that alone to put us in right standing with God. It's a gift from God. Listen, salvation is not a reward for good things you do. Salvation is a gift, and none of us can brag about the fact that God treats me like I've never sinned, as if it's because of my goodness. He treats us like we've never sinned because of our faith in his shed blood. There was a song years ago, and we used to sing it. I'm not going to sing it for you this morning. Oh. But it was, oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. And the next line went, his royal blood now flows through my veins. He treats me like I've never sinned. Then there's another old song. I won't sing this one either. But the words were, I had a debt I could not pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe. That's the story of salvation. We're the ones with a sin debt. Jesus never had one. We couldn't pay for our own rescue. We couldn't do anything in the mess we were in to make ourselves right before God. Jesus came to our rescue, and it cost him precious blood, but he felt like we were worth it. I had a debt of sin I could not pay, and he paid a debt of sin that he did not owe. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. One translation says, we will be spared from God's wrath. God can be an angry God, but because of the bloodline we're in and the benefits we have of being sons and daughters of God, we will be spared the wrath of God that comes onto the world, all because we've been made right. I've never done anything worth being made right in God's sight except believe on Jesus and trust in his blood. Hey, I'm feeling like Easter Sunday up here. The news never gets any better than this. And then, in addition to the forgiveness of our sin, we're given access into the presence of God. Let's not marginalize that. That's front and center in our lives every day, having access to the presence of God, fellowship with God. Do you know how sad it is, and many are this way, even people who've trusted in the blood of Jesus to forgive their sin, they never take the next step and really glory in access into his presence. Now, he's here with us right now, and it's easier to know that and to sense that when we're corporate, when we're collected together, when we assemble in his name. His presence at times tangible when we're together. But he's just as much accessible to me and to you when there's nobody else around. but us and him. Fellowship with him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I just didn't clean myself up one day and say, okay, I'm presentable to God now. I'm good enough. Let's go into it. We don't get there that way. Could never be good enough. It's by faith alone. It's by God's grace and our faith. Do you know what it's like to be far off? And you can't get to God? He's just a distant thought. You have no access to him. That was your BC days. But if you're going to believe the Bible, and we do that around here, then everything changed because of the blood of Christ. Now those of us who could never have access to him, that's Old Testament. Only the priest, the high priest, could get to his presence. His presence was inside a box hidden behind a thick curtain at the back of the temple. And the people who would come and give blood offerings, offer animals, and thank God for a little bit of relief when the blood of that animal was shed on the altar, they sensed a little bit of relief from the guilt and sin temporarily, but they couldn't even get back there. They couldn't even get through the curtain. They couldn't even see the box. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. They couldn't even see the box, which represented the presence of God hidden behind a thick veil in the temple. But everything changed. I love those words, but now. That's the way it was. It used to be we were without Christ. We were aliens from the promise. We were strangers. And we had no hope, and we were without God. How horrible is that verse? But it all changed. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Only by the blood. And then, because of the blood, we have been accepted by God, and he calls us beloved. We've been accepted in the beloved of God. Imagine that, you and me. And because of the blood of his son applied to our life by our faith, just faith, nothing, no works, just our faith, God looks at the rascals we have been and says, they are acceptable and beloved to me. What a difference but now in Christ Jesus makes because of his blood and the benefits of the bloodline. Not rejected by God. Have you ever felt rejected by God? Your faith in the blood of Jesus changes that. That's the only thing that will do it. Have you ever been rejected by anybody? Have you ever been the last person on the playground at school chosen for one side or the other, playing ball with your friends? Everybody else accepted before you. You were rejected until the very last. Have you ever applied for a loan at the bank only to learn a few hours later you were denied and rejected? Have you ever applied for a job and the position went to somebody else and you were rejected? And the worst of all, have you ever gone way out on a limb and told somebody, I love you, and they did not reciprocate? Now that hurts. That happened to me. I won't tell the lengthy version of that either, but you know, when I met Brenda, she was engaged to another man. And for me, it was love at first sight, but for her, obviously not. You know, I learned, obviously, I'm an acquired taste. You have to take your time to fall in love with me, obviously. But I told her, I love you, and one day I will marry you. And she said to me, you did not say that. She said, Carl, I would not marry you if you were the last man on earth. That's what she said to me. You remember. Rejections, all I'm saying. I've been there. But that's right. Don't ever say that. I mean, 44 years almost we've been married. I know. That's a while, isn't it? I think there's hope for us, darling. I think we might make it. God's been good to us. But you will never be rejected by God if you draw near to Him based on nothing but the finished work of Jesus shedding His precious blood to pay our ransom and put us in a position of being right before God. The word reject is defined this way: to refuse, to discard as useless, to cast out. How horrible. I don't like any of those words. And yet, many people don't know the truth about their only hope, and they feel rejected. They feel God has refused them. They feel God has discarded them and considered them useless, and they think God has cast them out. But here's what Jesus said about it in John Chapter 6, verse 37, he said, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Benefits of the bloodline. Instead of being rejected, refused, discarded, cast out, which Jesus promised he would not do, instead of being rejected, we are, and this is Bible, it uses this very word, we're accepted. And the definition of the word accept is to receive with approval and favor. God has not refused anyone, does not reject you even to this day, has not discarded you, and has already pre-decided He's not going to cast you out. Instead, because of the blood of Christ, God receives you with approval and with favor. This is the best news that's ever hit planet Earth. Romans chapter 5, verse 11 says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So now some people have a servant mindset, and we're all to serve, and we are His servants. I'm not against serving. That's 101. That's basic training. We learn to serve God in the kingdom. But we're not just a servant only. Benefits of the bloodline, He treats us like a son. Not just a servant, but a son. And it even gets better than that. How wonderful it is for a son and his father to be best friends. I've had a few people tell me that over the years. Good men would say to me, my dad is my best friend. How sweet is that? And it's possible in God with every one of us as His sons and daughters. And then another benefit of the bloodline, redemption from the curse. I've been living for a while now. I've been around church people all my life, and worse. I mean, church people are fine. Worse, though, religious people. I hate religion. I mean, to hell with religion. You know, I'm about relationship with God, and there's only one way. I'm talking about it today, the blood of Christ. Religion is not a ticket out of hell. And many people who are even believers, they believe the blood of Christ is their only hope for the forgiveness of their sin. But even having believed that, they live for years, perhaps their entire lifetime, thinking that they are under a curse. It's poor teaching. It's misinformation. It is a lie and not the truth. But many Christians, I've had them tell me that over the years. I'm under a curse. My granddaddy, my daddy, and my great-granddaddy, and it's fallen on me. And, you know, the sins of the father visits three and four generations deep, and there's the generational cuss. And, yeah, I'm a believer. Did I say cuss? I meant curse. A generational curse. And the Bible talks about that. But hello, that was old covenant. That's when we were lost in the world without God and with no hope. That was before it was written, but now in Christ Jesus. And so here's the truth. For those of you who may believe God, but also think you're suffering under a curse. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And here's why. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You want to have an exciting Bible study this week? Study the blessing of Abraham. Go way back and study how blessed Abraham was only because of his faith in God. And that was before the Holy Spirit indwelled believers. That was before Jesus paid a price that we could have right standing in the presence of God. And Abraham was such a man of great faith. Three of the world's greatest religions, largest religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam even, all looked to Abraham. So he's the father of our faith. That man was something else. I mean, he was a man of great faith in the old covenant when there was darkness and not much light at all, and yet still he believed God. And the New Testament said, Abraham believed God so much, God just attributed that up to faith. Said, I'm going to call that a faithful man because he believes me so much. The blessing of Abraham, study up on that. I'll just tell you about the curse. Believers have two choices. Christians, I'm talking to Christians here, and here, and wherever. You have two choices. You can think you are cursed, or you can know you are blessed. You can think you're cursed, and if you think you're cursed, you might as well be, because as a man thinketh in his heart, that's the way he really is. You can think you're cursed, or you can know you're blessed. Benefits of the bloodline, we can know we're blessed. And the blessing breaks the curse. To be cursed is to miss out on the blessing. I'm blessed and no longer cursed. The curse that I deserved, I had it coming to me. Jesus stepped in between me and the Father and said, I'll take the curse that was intended for him. And Solomon in Proverbs says, no curse will settle on its intended victim without a reason. Jesus took away the reason that I should have been cursed. Cursed is every man who hangs on a tree. He hung on a tree. And part of what he paid for when he was hanging there, the forgiveness of my sin, and then redemption from the curse that was headed my way. Now, if you think you're living under a curse, change your mind right now. Change your mind. Don't think that way. You're thinking a lie. If you're putting your whole faith and trust in the blood of Christ, if you're claiming the benefits of being in the bloodline, then don't think that way anymore. If you think you're cursed, change the way you think. The blessing of Abraham breaks the curse. Then you can start enjoying the benefits of being in the bloodline. Now, Adam cursed us with sin, but Jesus blessed us with salvation. And David said it like this, and here again, this was BC, this is before Christ, but David saw enough of the goodness of God in his day that he said, and this is my favorite verse of Scripture, Psalm 68:19. My favorite verse has been for 40 years. Anytime anybody ever randomly asks, what's your favorite verse? Psalm 68:19. And David said it. He loads me down daily with the many benefits of his salvation. I'm loaded. I know how blessed I am. I'm more grateful today. One thing, maybe it's a sign of growing older, which I'm still so young. I don't know what it is, but I'm more thankful and more grateful today than I've ever been. I see every little blessing as an intentional act of God's goodness on my life. I appreciate things so much more, and I'm enjoying the benefits of being blessed to be in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus. And then I want to close with this, because this is a needed word for this church right now and for so many people. One of the benefits of the bloodline is healing for your body. Some of our people are sick and suffering, not just here in our church, our extended church family, those who are watching the live stream, but people everywhere need this benefit of the bloodline. Now, if it's in the Bible, I'm going to believe it. And healing was paid for. So many scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. Isaiah, before the cross, prophesied he said it like this, by his stripes I am healed. I mean, it was centuries before the stripes were placed on Jesus' back for our healing. Isaiah saw that centuries early and prophesied in present tense, by his stripes we are healed. And then the apostle Peter, after the cross, after the crucifixion, the stripes placed on Jesus' back for our healing, looking back, he gave the same word in past tense, by his stripes we were healed. I'll take healing either way. We are and we were, both biblical. And we need to exercise our faith. I'm just saying it, not just those of you who may be struggling with sickness in your own body, but for others in the body as we pray one for another. I mean, physical health is being attacked right now in the world. Hello, it's a global pandemic. It's an enemy that's so small you can't see it without a microscope. An enemy that's a killer, and it's affected 200 nations on the planet. I don't know of a single one that hasn't been affected. Sickness disease leading to death, and we've been redeemed biblically. They are benefits of the bloodline. One of them is healing for our bodies. Stand up, if you will. I want to close with five verses.